Here in Psalm 46, especially in these first few verses, we read of, I think the main theme of these first three verses is the theme of fear. Verse number 2, therefore will not we fear. So this is something the psalmist is writing, and he's found encouragement in God, and he's saying, therefore will not we fear. And we read of all these here different things that he says he'll not be afraid of. And if we just read down them through them here, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. And I think the psalmist maybe was in his head was thinking, what is the scariest event that I could think of happening? So these were some of the things that he tried to describe as something that he thought would be terrifying. But even in those situations, the psalmist could turn around and say, therefore will not we fear. And that might be strange, because I would say if any one of us was really in any of those situations described here, there would be great fear. All of us have fears. It comes to everyone, no matter who you are, and it's universal to every man and woman, boy and girl in this world, whoever has been in this world. It comes right down from Adam. We all have our fears, but it's small things like spiders or snakes, wee small things like that, or whether it's larger, more important things, so to speak, like maybe an ill family member, we're afraid of their health, or maybe you're afraid of your financial situation. All of these are different fears, and each one has different fears, but I would say here there wouldn't be anyone who says that they have no fear. And as I said, this comes down from Adam. Read of the first time of fear in the scripture is Genesis 3, if you just return to that there. Genesis chapter 3. We'll know the context here of the sin in the garden. Before this point, Adam was put in the garden. He had nothing to be afraid of. Adam didn't know what it was to fear, because he had everything he needed, and he was supplied by God, and he walked close by him. But we read of a difference here in chapter 3. Maybe read it from verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord against the trees, amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam, and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked. So we see here that this is where the first example of fear has come in. And it's because of sin. He sinned against the holy God. God made a covenant with him that he would have life, but if he broke it, there would be death. And I would say Adam, whenever he heard God coming, he maybe thought that this was his day. His day of death was coming. But we're thankful to God that there was grace given to Adam, and there was a new covenant given to him. But we read of this as his fear, and he's afraid because of his sin and standing before a holy God. And this is nothing strange to Scripture. Often we read of this here in Scripture. In the Old Testament, we think of the time of Sinai, that when the law was given, they were standing before a holy God, and he thundered down from heaven about the commandments. They were afraid. They even go near the mountain, and they were like, we don't want to hear God's voice again, because we're so afraid. Moses, could you go up for us? There was terror in their hearts. But from the first book to the last book, even reading Revelation, chapter 6, verse 15, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? These men were terrified. And as I was saying at the start, or back at our psalm here, Psalm 46, in this psalm is thinking of the most terrifying experience he could think of. Yet, when we read it in Revelation, we read that what the psalmist thought would be terrifying. These men in Revelation, they sought them to be their friend. They wanted the mountains to fall on them. They wanted the earth to be removed. They wanted to be carried away and to be the mountains shaking and falling on them. That's what they wanted, for the terror of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ in his wrath against the ungodly. And that's the same for everyone here who's out of Christ. The holy God of heaven comes and tells us today that you must be reconciled. Be ye reconciled unto God. For if we're not reconciled, then we know that the last day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, there'll be fear like none of us have ever feared before. And it'll be terrible. And it'll be awful. I was listening to a sermon the way down the road. Dr. Alan Kearns was preaching, and he was talking about the wrath of God. And he was saying about Capernaum, who heard the gospel right from the lips of the Saviour, in comparison to Sodom and Gomorrah, that Sodom and Gomorrah would have a more tolerable hell than those who heard the gospel. And he was saying, even in our day, when we've heard even greater gospel, we have the full scriptures here, clearly teaching us of the Redeemer. And everyone here today that hears me can't say they haven't heard of the Lord Jesus Christ and their need of salvation. And if you turn away, if you won't turn from your sin, this terror will be your terror. It is an awful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's what the scripture says. For those who trample the blood under their feet. So I encourage anyone here who's out of Christ, don't put it off. Come today to the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is full of mercy and pardon. Because that's what the rest of our psalm is going on to say. Verse number 1, God is our refuge. So we have fears, we have troubles, but we're thankful today that we have someone to go to that deals with our fears and troubles. And it is here in verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And if we just think of even of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we're going through these different words, we have three different sort of phrases. We have refuge, strength, and a present help in our trouble. So we'll think of these three things now. We'll go through them. God is our refuge. Jesus Christ is our refuge. First of all, to the sinner. We think of a refuge, and the idea behind this word refuge is a shelter. We all know what a shelter is, but I was even thinking, as you maybe seen on a TV or on the internet or something, over in America, where these great places have tornadoes. And often those places that have a lot of tornadoes, you'll see that they have a shelter, a place, a bunker underground where they'll go into, and they'll be safe from the tornado. And they'll be safe until the storm passes over. And that is what it's saying here. It's a refuge. God is our refuge. The Lord Jesus Christ is our refuge. And we think of a shelter. The shelter doesn't stop the storm. The storm isn't brought away just because there's a shelter there. No, instead, we are safe within the shelter. And we think of our Lord Jesus Christ again. When he came to the earth, it wasn't that he came and it was just a good example, but he came to take away the wrath of God. But instead, he had to face the wrath of God. He had to face the storm. So like the shelter, those within are safe, but those without are not safe. And the shelter, it bears the brunt of the storm, just like our Saviour. He bore the brunt of our punishment on the cross, so that whenever we could run into him, we are safe from the storm. It's like Noah at the time of the flood. He was safe in the shelter. But the boat, the ark, had to face the brunt of the storm. And it did face the brunt of it, and it was able to withstand that great storm. That's like our Saviour. So I'd say to the sinner here today, run into the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be safe from the wrath of God. Again, he is our strength. And read of the Saviour as our strength in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 tells us, Romans 5 verse 6. It says, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for us when we had no strength. And he is our strength. So that as we come to him in repentance and faith, he gives us a strength to be able to run to him in our time of difficulty. It's like a shelter. The shelter's no good unless you can get to it. If you weren't able to walk to it, you couldn't use your legs, paralyzed, you maybe wouldn't be able to get into the shelter. So shelter's no good to you unless you're inside it, and you need the strength to get to it. And as we go on, a very present help in trouble. So we see here, especially I have in my margin, it says, a help readily found. It's easily found, it's nearby, it's close by, that we can run into it. So again, a shelter is not much use if it's not nearby. If we had a shelter, like those tornadoes, and it was just right beside us, but the shelter was 2 miles away, it'd be no good. We need it right by our side. And as we can all, anyone who's a believer here tonight, can say to the glory of God, we were slow to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We weren't fast to run to him, but when we did run, he was found. He wasn't hard to find when we went to him. It says that in the word of God that the Savior, when a sinner comes to him, he saves them immediately, and they were safe immediately from the storm. And what encouragement that is to the believer who can say, we have our sins forgiven, we have a refuge from our sin, and we have safety in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's, if we search our souls, we could say that above all things, our greatest concern in this life is to know that our sins are forgiven. And our sins are forgiven in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's wonderful. And I would say, again, to the unconverted, run into the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is a refuge from the storm, and he is strength that to give us to run to him, and he is our present help in time of trouble. We have many troubles and trials, but we thank God that it's not that God doesn't just save us and then leave us, but he saves us and continues on. He continues on helping us. Paul says, Did you start your Christian walk in the Spirit and you continue on in the flesh? No, we don't. We don't have to live this Christian life alone. We're thankful that we can come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have a blessing in him. Maybe we'll turn to Isaiah 41. For as we go through this word, and we have our fears, we can't say this of the unbeliever, because they have all the reason to fear. But for the believer, we can say we don't need to fear. We have a refuge in Jesus Christ. If we look there in verse number 10, Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isn't that wonderful? It's because we can read, fear thou not, for I am with thee. It's the continual presence of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that takes away fear. For as we're going through our troubles and trials and our difficulties, whatever that might be, maybe you're sick yourself or you know someone, your family member, and you're worried about them, you're afraid and you're troubled. We can say here, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Our Savior, his presence brings peace in our hearts. That man hath perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And our Savior said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So we know he's always by our side. And even though, as we go through this world, we might think to ourselves sometimes in our troubles and trials, where is the Savior? I can't seem to find him anywhere. I pray to him, and I don't seem to get any answers. Yet, we know that our Savior is no liar, and our God tells no lies, and he's a God of truth, and we can always come to him. We always know that he's there. And even though our prayers may seem not to be answered, yet we can be assured, because he says in the word here again, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. He helps us continually. And even though his hand might be hidden from us, yet he's still working all things together for our good, to them that love God. But again, we can't say that of the unbeliever. It's only to the believer that this message, in this sense, can be given to you today. It's because all who are in Christ, we know that all things are for our good and for our benefit, and we can trust in our God. And this brings us joy and happiness in our times of difficulty. John chapter 20, verse number 19. The disciples, after the Savior was crucified, we read of them there. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. They were afraid because they didn't know that they had a Savior who was living. They thought their Saviour was dead. But they were afraid of the Jews. But there's a big difference comes in as we read on. As it says, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And it says then later on, read verse 20, and when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. So we see fear is taken away, and God, here the Lord Jesus Christ, shows them his hands. So as we come, and we know we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, if he has bled and died for us, he'll come and he'll look after us. He shows them his hands and his side and say, yes, it is me. It is me, the Saviour, who has died on the cross. And as we go to him, we will be glad. And as our Saviour comes to us, it makes us glad and takes our fears away. We think of the public place here. Week by week, as I meet wherever in Al Nung, I often have found that the Saviour comes nearby and gladdens my heart. But that's the thing again about a shelter, our refuge. Unless you're in it, unless you're in the refuge or go to the refuge in times of trouble, we'll face the storm alone. But we need to go to the Lord Jesus Christ to have our fears taken away. We must come to him in the word. We must read his word. We must pray. We must, even at home, seek to have that quiet time with the Lord. And even as we're thinking of Matthew chapter 14, as we read that this evening, this morning, we're in Matthew chapter 14. I think it's a lovely, lovely passage of scripture. When they were in the middle of the storm, and they were afraid, they were terrified, and they thought God was nowhere to be, Jesus, the Lord Saviour, was nowhere to be found. Yet, when the Saviour came along, he whispered, he spoke to them immediately, and he said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. So see, the presence of God takes away fear, because Peter himself, who was afraid, he was one of the disciples who was afraid, and we know that the storm was still raging when the Saviour came. He no longer had that fear anymore, because we see he asked the Saviour, could he come in the water? He asked the Saviour, was he allowed to come to him in the water? So Peter actually got out of the boat. He had no fear at that time. He had no fear because the Saviour came near and encouraged his heart. So as we know the presence of the Saviour, we have our fears taken away. And we know that even as well that Christians, our Christian friends, bring us comfort and blessing at times. But if we depend upon them alone, we'll not have a blessing. But we must have, especially, blessing of our Lord. And as I say, we must come to the public place of worship, whether it's here on a Sunday or even in your midweek meetings, that you would come to pray to God. That is where God blesses, and that is where he says he'll meet. As we've already said, the two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. And we know that God will bless us. And that is an encouragement to my heart, and I have found it a blessing, and I hope this has been an encouraging word for you this week to go on. And if it is fearful, go to God and wait upon him. Prove him to see if he'll take away them fears, that you'll be encouraged and comforted in your Christian walk.